thefootballpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
Greatest application is in broadcasting mass entertainment. Probably one of the best ways to get started is to make it a hobby and build an amateur station. It will show you more quickly than anything else whether or not you can succeed in radio.
KBOO, Portland.
Hey, KBOO supporters. This is Cat Meow, KBOO's board president. Due to the COVID-19 crisis, KBOO has had to cancel our annual spring membership drive. Canceling such an important fundraiser was not an easy choice, but thanks to an anonymous donor, every dollar contributed now through May 31st will be matched up to $20,000. We know that times are tough right now, so we're asking those of you who are able to give to donate today at kboo.fm/give. Financial support from our listeners is what allows community radio to carry out the important role we play in times like these. Give today at our website. Again, that's kboo.fm/give. Thanks for your support and thanks for tuning in.
Welcome to The Food Show. I'm Emily Becker. On today's show, we'll learn all about sticky, gooey natto, how it's made, how delicious it is, and its health benefits. Earlier this week, I interviewed Heidi Nessler, who is the owner of Wampaku Natto and also the nutritional program coordinator at Quest Center for Integrative Health. In the second half of the show, we'll hear an awesome set of food-themed songs from DJ Rizal Medina. I hope the music and the sunshine we're having bring you a little joy today.
Can you tell us a little bit about your business, Wampaku?
My business is Wampaku Natto. I make natto, which is a traditional Japanese fermented soybean. So some people know natto, some people don't. Natto is somewhat similar to miso in that it's, or tempeh even. They're all fermented, usually soybeans. Natto is sticky from the fermentation process, and it's typically eaten for breakfast in Japan.
How did you get introduced to natto? Are you from Japan?
I'm not from Japan. I lived in Japan for many years. My two sons were born there, and they're adults now and both live in Portland. My one son helps me with the business quite a bit. I think when we moved back to the United States, I wanted them to have some of the same traditional foods, including natto. So natto I could find in the United States. It was still frozen. Probably 99% of the natto sold in the United States is from Japan, and it's sold in the freezer section, not the refrigerator section. And it's also packaged in styrofoam containers. So I wanted something a little more sustainable, and I thought I knew how to ferment other things, so I was learned how to make natto. And also natto has amazing health benefits. And I wanted to have it fresh and available to my kids most mornings for breakfast.
Do you remember your first experience with eating natto?
I do. I was in college. My Japanese boyfriend at the time made breakfast, and we had this bowl. It was a plastic bowl of brown rice, and he had mixed natto in. And that was my first taste. I was just eating it off a spoon in a car running late for work. And he was really surprised that I liked it. and I didn't know it was considered a weird food. I didn't know that it was something that people, you know, I mean, now that we have the internet, we can look it up and see most people would describe it as stinky or slimy and use all these kinds of adjectives around it. But I had no idea, and I just really enjoyed the kind of nuttiness. I would say there's like an earthy quality, a nutty quality. It pairs really well with brown rice. That, I guess, was my past. Flash forward, we moved to Japan, we had kids together, and, you know, many years together, and lots of natto.
That's cool.
Have you experienced, or have you watched other people try natto for the first time and have less, what's the right word, like less accepting attitude?
So that's been an interesting piece of this. I first introduced, you know, we would make natto, and so the recipe that, you know, the sort of way that I'm selling natto now is very much what came out of our family's taste and what we came to enjoy. We use a larger soybean than the typical smaller soybean. But when I was first demoing natto, it was just, you know, I was an amateur fermenter, and I was at that first Portland Fermentation Festival. So that must have been 12, 13 years ago. We were sharing the natto that we had made. What was interesting to me then was we had students from what's currently NUNM, the students there had studied about natto and the health benefits of natto, and they were very eager to try. And so they were lined up before we were even set up, and I remember them trying and had that look on their face like, thank you very much, moving away quickly. And it was like, oh, okay, that's how it started. And then, but also that day, what was interesting to me was most people that I met and continue to have met over the years had not heard of natto, and so they're trying it for the first time. And in some senses, that's the best way because people are more open. They're like, oh, cool. You know, I explained it's sticky from the fermentation. Cool. So I remember one man in particular tried it and said, wow, that's, you know, really amazing. That really speaks to me. And he could kind of, it resonated with him. And I remember him coming back a few times and getting samples. And it's been interesting. It's, you know, in that category, if you Google it, you'll see, like, the words acquired taste, which sounds like such a way to doom it forever. But it's been my experience that for most people who understand, you know, it's sort of like a biohack. They understand the health benefits. They understand this is a good food. If they don't like it the first bite, they can often literally acquire that taste, and it doesn't take very long. It's probably about 4 tries. So maybe the first time someone tries it, they might not put any sauce on it. They just have it straight, and it's like, I didn't really like it. And I'm like, okay, what if you add a little bit of tamari and a little bit of something creamy like sesame oil, and just a drop of something acidic like a little bit of vinegar. It's like, oh, okay, good idea. And then they try it like, oh, that's much better. Or if I make it for them, that's much better. And then they maybe have an innovation like, oh, I really like hot sauce, so I'm going to add that next time. And usually a third or fourth time, they're really into it to the point of craving it. So it's a kind of interesting thing that I've observed. Plus, I would say that 13 years ago, 12 years ago, whenever I started demoing, that people were less people were into it, and then gradually it was less weird to people. So maybe 6 years ago, I noticed that people were it's as if our palates have collectively expanded. They were just, you know, more open to it. So based on that, I started a company. I never really thought that I would be someone who was selling natto in the United States. It was a hobby. I made it for my family, and I shared it with Japanese friends or friends who were into it. Maybe they had been to Japan. And then there are folks that have researched it and know the specific health benefits and are into it for those reasons. But it was, you know, but looking back at that first bite, I would have never guessed that we would have, like, one of the few natto companies in the United States.
So how is it made? How do you actually make the natto?
So we use soybeans, and you could use another bean. For example, right now I'm making some navy bean natto as a special order. But typically we start with dried soybeans. We soak them for about 10, 12 hours. And then we rinse them, you know, really well, and then steam them in a pressure cooker. And so the cooking of the soybean is really interesting because it gets very soft. If you try it as an unfermented bean and just the bean itself, you'd think, oh, I overcook these. And then we inoculate them with the starter culture, which is Bacillus subtilis. It's a bacteria that occurs naturally on straw and hay. So if you think of Japan, the, you know, tatami mats and hot beans, how this, it's always interesting to me to think about how these ferments came about. So, and there's lots of different stories out there that are kind of fun. But I think the one that I think about is that a samurai was making soybeans, and they were still hot. And the battle had begun. So he wrapped the soybeans in like a little bit of a straw mat and tied them to his horse, and then went into battle. It was, you know, in the battle. Thank goodness he won the battle. So the warmth of the soybeans kept warm by the horse. And then he opened it up, and it was nice and sticky and yummy, and so I've heard that. But, you know, this is a food, this is sort of a peasant food for I think, people in Japan who didn't live near the ocean. Maybe they were in more mountainous regions. So the soybeans were really an important source of protein. And then also in Japan, I think it's always been thought of as, you know, something that's good, you know, if you have an upset stomach or something's not quite right, you know, with a probiotic benefit. So we inoculate the beans with a starter culture that's, if you've ever made yogurt, the process is somewhat similar. You're maintaining a certain temperature, and you could actually make natto in a yogurt maker. In fact, they sell natto makers in Japan that look surprisingly similar to like the yogurt makers of my childhood in the 70s, you know, with each of the individual jars. And they, you know, the makers, the natto makers will say, can also make yogurt. So I have an incubator that holds the temperature for the natto, and we ferment it for 20 hours. So, and then when we pull it from the incubator, the beans, they're in trays, like stainless steel half pans, and they have a lovely white sheen, and if you pull a spoon or a fork across the surface, you'll see the beautiful threads. The threads, you know, we believe that the goodness, the beneficial part of the natto is sort of in that gooiness. And then we package it, yeah. So it's kind of a really cool process. It's a ferment, but it doesn't take, like miso can take years, you know, maybe 9 months, but you could have a 3-year, a 5-year miso. It's still somewhat an exercise in patience, but it is fairly fast for a fermented food.
Okay, cool. So you are making your natto. Do you do it in a commercial kitchen place, or is it at a you do a thing you do at home?
Actually, I do it in my home kitchen, which is certified as a commercial kitchen.
That's a domestic kitchen license.
That works well for me because, for a number of reasons, because of the length of the ferment. So one piece of the process is just pulling the beans from the incubator. So it's very convenient to also live where we make the natto. The other piece is that it's a very robust bacteria. So, for example, something like yogurt is a very delicate balance of bacteria, and I have never been able to make yogurt successfully in that kitchen since I started making natto. And I think that the bacteria sort of duke it out, and the Bacillus subtilis, the natto starter culture, always seems to win out. So I'm very cautious about sharing kitchen space with, one would do in like a commissary kitchen situation. I don't want to knock out anyone's precious fermented food. Having said that, I've had certainly still ferment, do lacto-fermented veggies like sauerkraut or kimchi successfully. And then there are some funny stories from Japan about like the miso maker and the natto maker never being able to meet in person. And it's concern is that I know it's kind of funny, the way I heard it was they were brothers-in-law, and they couldn't meet because of, as a fermenter, especially as a natto fermenter, if you picture that from Peanut pig pen, he has the cloud of dust around him. That's me only as the natto starter. So, I carry that around with me, I think, everywhere. And it's certainly, in the kitchen that we use. And the same with a miso maker. The belief being that the starter culture for miso, the koji, might get knocked out by the natto starter culture. Having said that, I do make miso for my family and have not had issues. I think my miso is pretty good too. I have a reluctance to share a kitchen with others just because of the strength of that beneficial bacteria that we use.
It's also probably a really good thing right now when there's just not a lot of to be able to be in your own space and to, which we all are in our own spaces right now. have that kind of control over your space and not lose the kitchen space due to an epidemic or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. And I also, I just put it out there that it's so such a great option if anyone is looking to start a food business, to know that you can. Many of us can start it in our own kitchen. I mean, of course, you need to meet certain qualifications and get approved for it, but I think that the climate in Portland, in Oregon in general, that around making, that there, there's a lot of factors that help us grow and succeed at the early stages of a food business that I really, really appreciate. I love doing business here. I love having a business here.
How has COVID-19 impacted your business, and has anything changed?
I am working from home a lot more. I am still out there delivering products. I've changed the way that I deliver, do it a little smarter, bunch up my trips together a little more. But I would say that the biggest way is not being able to interact one-on-one with customers. When this started, my demo schedule for the month of March. Thank you, March. I had 2 and 3 demos scheduled for most days. My product was on sale, and I really wanted to get it out there and let people try it. As a new company, newer company, and as a kind of new food for most people, that demo piece has been important. So that was the biggest change. with not being able to interact with people. So I think my experience in supermarkets is there's a demo, you know, there's a something being demoed, and people just want to graze by and grab it and eat it and not interact. And it's a little hard with Natto because they grab it and then they do a couple steps back and say, wait a minute, what is this? What am I eating? And they're sort of you know, forced to engage and learn what they just picked up. You know, without having that piece, that ability to interact with customers, you know, really having to think and get creative about how to bring that educational piece in.
I think a lot of us are thinking about our health right now and trying to figure out how to stay as healthy as we can. And you've mentioned a couple of times that Natto has some great health benefits. What are those?
I think most people immediately can connect with it being a fermented food and therefore probiotic, and that is true. It has tremendous probiotic benefit. The beneficial bacteria in Natto is different than, say, the lactobacilli in sauerkraut or kimchi. So, you know, if you're trying to even incorporate many different types of fermented foods, which I think is very smart, you know, Natto is one that's very much different from all the others. It, you know, I think if we're trying to have as many different beneficial bacteria in our diets as we can, Natto is a great addition. And you just need a little bit of Natto. I think the American idea of a portion size versus a Japanese portion size can be very different. So, for example, 1 ounce of natto with one big dollop is very very nutrient dense. In addition to the probiotics, there's vitamin K2. So K2 is really important for bone health, cardiovascular health. K2 works with calcium. It helps shuttle calcium to your bones. So without K2 in our diet, and, you know, we're eating, whether we're taking a calcium supplement or just eating a you know, calcium-rich diet, calcium doesn't quite know where to go without the K2. So it could end up in soft tissues, arteries, where we don't want calcium. K2 is found in traditional animal foods like egg yolks, dark meat, sort of like a emu oil, certain traditional oils. And it's very hard, I mean, we don't eat a lot of those, or, you know, many of us don't get enough K2 in our diet. There's a type of K2 that is from the fermentation process. So natto is the highest source of the K2 from fermentation. But some cheeses, such as brie and gouda, their edam, they can be quite high in the K2 from fermented foods. You just need that, you know, like that 1 ounce serving that I mentioned of natto. That has all the K2 that you could need for the day. You know, and I also mentioned egg yolks. In Japan, traditionally, natto is served with a raw egg. So I think it's quite interesting that that sort of traditional wisdom of our ancestors, that they had the two different types of K2 in that one little dish. So K2 is one that many people are becoming aware of. I think if you think about 15 years ago, say, and the importance of vitamin D, people are like, what do I need that for? You know, they heard the word, you know, they heard of vitamin D, but they didn't really know it's important. So there's also an enzyme that's produced during fermentation called nattokinase. And nattokinase is also good for cardiovascular health. It helps break up the fibrins and so preventing blood clots and strokes. And the nattokinase and the vitamin K2, these are often, if you see a supplement, it's made from natto, the vitamin K2 supplement, so the nattokinase. Nattokinase is unique to natto. There's no other really way to get it. So I think it's quite interesting we're thinking about taking supplements, but when we have access to the real food, you know, it's often, I believe it's the better way to go. And then there's also some other benefits to natto, something called PQQ. And when I mention PQQ, I think people start to think, oh, now she's really just making this up. But PQQ is really good for skin health in particular. So many people will come to me, especially if we're meeting in a supermarket, saying I'm up there demoing, like, oh my gosh, you make natto? I've read about natto, or I have heard about natto. I had only seen natto before I was making my own for sale in Asian markets. And then the People's Food Co-op, always ahead of its time. And now my natto is available quite widely in local supermarkets. So it's, I think, still a shock for some people to see that, A, somebody like New Seasons or Market of Choice or Green Zebra sells natto to begin with, and that it's local. So that's another piece of the education that I miss not being able to be out there, but I'll have to find other ways to get the message out. But that piece of being local means that the natto is fresh. It doesn't have to be frozen first. And the health benefits that, you know, I've mentioned are present in the fresh natto, the refrigerated natto, and then they diminish by freezing.
You know a lot about nutrition, which makes a lot of sense because your other job is that you're the nutritional programs coordinator at Quest Center for Integrative Health. What do you do at Quest?
At Quest, I have a few groups. I have a nutrition group where we cook together, and that is part of the Quest non-opioid pain management program. So often, you know, one of the modalities that people use to deal with pain is diet. So the anti-inflammatory diet is something that I teach in that class. It can be quite daunting and overwhelming to get a list of foods you can eat and foods you can't eat from a practitioner. Many people just sort of give up right there because the foods you can eat is all the foods you want to eat. So we just break it down week by week and do basically a cooking class. And what that looks like since we've been shut down is that we just do it on a Zoom call. And I have two cameras, and I point one at the chopping board and one at me, and we still cook together in that sense.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's been a really nice way to connect. Just in general, because I think everybody is thinking more about food and, oh my gosh, what do I make? What do I make with what I, you know, cooking with what you have really is every day's theme now. Another big program at Quest, and everyone is invited to this when we're open, is Thursday Community Nutrition Night. So we get a donation from the Whole Foods there at Laurelhurst, right next door to us, East Burnside. They give us a donation of food in the early afternoon, and we sort through it, and we figure out what we're making for the day, and we cook with the help of volunteers a meal for everyone. And we serve that at 6:30 is when we start dinner. But I also do a nutritional talk 6 to 6:30, right before dinner. That's been very hard because one of the main tenets of the Quest Center is that healing, we heal, you know, part of healing is being in community. And community is such an important value at Quest Center. And it's beautifully illustrated when you come together around food and learning how to cook. And, you know, when you're trying to make changes, you know, the idea of like, let's eat healthier, but then how to sustain that and how to get support around that. And so people can even just check in, you know, and help chop things on Thursdays and eat a really good meal and take home some leftovers and maybe some groceries too. So, since we've not been able to have nutrition night and come together the way we have been, and that nutrition night tradition has been going on for about 30 years. Quest Center has been around for 30 years, and nutrition night has been a part of that since almost the beginning of its founding. So it's been very odd. But what we've done is we are still getting donations from Whole Foods, and we try to share that food as well. We've partnered with Urban Gleaners during this shelter in place, and they can use our parking lot, and we have a food pickup. Anyone can come between 12:30 and 1:30 on Fridays to the Quest parking lot to pick up a box of food from Urban Gleaners.
That sounds really great. I love that you're still able to cook together and still able to help feed your community. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's been a great way to love youth during this time.
So if people want to taste your natto, where can people buy it?
So my natto is available at New Seasons Market, Market of Choice, the People's Food Co-op, Uajimaya, and Green Beaver Grocery. Giraffe Goods is another really cool, a little Japanese-style deli. They have bento to go. And they closed, they're inside of Cargo. They closed during when all this started. But they started doing grocery delivery as well. So, but it's in the refrigerator section. It's usually in the... It's funny, no one is quite sure where to put it at first, but it's usually near the alternative meat and cheese, sort of like that vegan protein section, or it's near the miso. I'm often right next to Jordan G. Miso. Friends in real life and neighbors on the shelf.
Even though they're miso makers.
Yes, I know. They also meet with me.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Heidi, for chatting with me today, and I hope you stay healthy and safe.
Thank you.
All right, let's go. Hold on, let me quiet down these crows. Would okay. you mind? Thank you.
Next up on the food show, we've got DJ Rozelle Medina bringing us a set of food songs. I'm really excited about this. We've never done a music set on the show since I've been the host. And it's awesome to have Rozelle on. He is the mastermind behind KUTT The Cut, a soon-to-be-famous internet radio station.
A soon-to-be radio internet famous. Yeah.
That's what I said.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Well, I just want to thank you, Emily. I just want to say that the only person who's more excited than you are is all the good people listening. And that it's been a lifelong dream of mine to be on the food show. I consider myself a bit of a musicologist, because I love music and I went to college. I've been eating food ever since I was about 12 years old, and I've been listening to music since before I was born. My mom had one of those Fisher-Price boomboxes that she used to put on her belly. I've been talking about doing this for a while because I love songs. There's a lot of songs that I love about food, and as you bring out on your show, the complexity and the nuance around the conversation around food, there's a lot of that in music about food. It's not just about food, like people listing the ingredients of food. That wouldn't be that good of a song. But it's a lot about not only what we eat, but what we don't eat. It's about people who produce the food, and it's about the culture around food. And so I wanted to just take a few of those songs and take you through a day in the life of a hypothetical person who's eating food, and including food that we drink, beverages.
I call those beverages.
Beverages.
Yeah.
Some people call it beverages, which I love. All about linguistic diversity here on KUTT The Cut. I just want to encourage y'all to keep supporting KBU, keep supporting the food show. Find The Cut, KUTT, on SoundCloud. You'll probably find about a million things, and eventually you might find my show on there, KUTT The Cut, from the land now known as Portland, Oregon. Thanks for having me on, Emily.
Awesome, let's listen.
I think Strictly collard greens and an occasional steak. Those on my plate, asparagus, with yum yum yum. Candy yams inside my cup. A collage of goodies, a snack for life treat. Apple floss and some nice red beets. That is what we snack on with questions. No second guessing. I don't eat no ham and eggs in the holiday cholesterol. Like a doggone turkey. Beef turkey sends him to eat sometimes. I like lemon and lime. And if not that, I get the rookie on this sour song. Sit back, relax, listen to some hip hop. Don't drop your gummy bear, see my eyes. A tight store one, and so walk high. Another goodie that'll fill with food. The pineapple root, delectable delight. Control my appetite. Find for the night, but I know what I like. Kick it for lunch. Chicken, 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 I'm a finger licking winner. When breakfast time comes, I don't break the ties. Chicken in the pan, or I'll get a little side. Two tomatoes, hold by the table, or any single flavor. Good that I'm here. Pay attention to the tribe and keep us home. This is how it goes.
I don't need no
Man, you know that we go hand in hand.
They get nothing for themselves. Farm laborers, it is today who feeds all of you and all of us. The whole country and part of the world, they know that they've got a tremendous responsibility, whether they get anything for them or not, to feed you and to keep you well in the life. Isn't it tragic that the same men and women who harvest, who plant and cultivate and harvest the greatest abundance of food that the world has ever known, when it's all said and done, when the land is laid fallow to rest, and they look at themselves, and they have no food for themselves.
That barbecue come with ham and sweetie, Allen, for people who crack. the park in the summer, yeah. Of the pool in July. You bring your wife and your family to that saloon if you fight. I've been with my family, my cousins, uncles, and aunts. Just go ahead and support the fun. We made it back to the block. That color syrup, that bread, that sugar cane, and that ice. That fake and sugar be blue. This paper flip with that knife. That gold chain, that beads and hoop. That messy bun with the scoop. That baby hair on that shorty. The prettiest girl in school. That top hat, boots, the low with milk and sugar. The mellow, no food, Caribbean fellow. That gets you pregnant by hello. That baby shower, that party, that keeps in it. I get started. The beat, you got to, don't worry. So don't you leave in a hurry. I love that purple, that dough. A little mix with and cold throw. That next up, this ain't no phone. That I love chicken and oil. I pour libations and soil. It's relations and Goya. It's a leftovers and Tupperware.
Stop and listen a while, and I'll sing you a little song. Every man will agree, what I'm singing, I am not wrong. Just understand, and then you talk as much as you please. There's nothing so sweet, like a good plate of rice and peas. You put in the peas, and you let it remain unspoiled. You throw in the milk, and you start to sing with a smile. You put in the rice, and a big deal of coconut style. Don't let just a fool you, when the rice and peas start to boil. This just be mumma, you put a handful in at the pot. This here people crop, and it's a little bit of the rat. This here be lazy, and this here be antenna. This here be fire, and the rice and the show. When the fat is cooked, every man's face is looking fat. Rice and peas you share it with a little watchman of that. Pupra him gets vexed, fall down upon his knees and fall out. Mumma, I'll kill me dead, but my shot in the right hand.
Personal on the pieces. I'm personal, and this here's my band, the Pieces. And we're gonna play a couple tunes for you tonight. The first one's called "I Don't Want to Be No Personal Pizza." Right, you ready? 1, 2, 3, 4. We'll be right back.
Anything in sight, make it a rainbow of red, brown, and white. Chocolate chip and everything that's nice. Fruity, fruity once, and spumoni twice. Banana split for my baby, and a glass of land water for me. spread the whipped cream for at least an hour. Powdered as high as Eiffel Tower. Loaded with nuts about 16 tons. Stuffed with the pizza just for fun. Banana split for my baby. And a glass of plain water for me.
Banana split for my baby. A glass of plain water for me. Banana split for my baby. A glass of plain water for me. Stacked her up with crazy news.
But that's the stuff she likes to wade right through.
Banana split for my baby.
A glass of plain water for me. Now add the cherries, the kind she loves too much. Skip one banana, use a hold on bunch. Drown it in fudge, 6 or 7 cans. Give her 2 spoons, she'll eat it with both hands.
Banana split for my baby. And a glass of plain water for me.
Separate check, it must be. Charge the split to her, the water to me.
Oh, the banana split for my baby. And a glass of plain water for me.
Ain't got no money,
the glass of plain water for me.
This is DJ Rosa Medina from KUTT The Cut, bringing you a special set of food-related songs on the food show on KBOO. So happy to be here. So happy you're listening. Thanks for having me on. We heard from Herbie Hancock and the Headhunters, A Tribe Called Quest, Louis Jordan and his 1035, Los Perros del Pueblo Nuevo, Princess Nokia, Laurel Aitken, Personal in the Pizzas, Hey, Don't Take It Personal, Rita Pavone, Amos Milburn, and we ended things off with perhaps the most whimsical dessert you'll ever hear about on the radio, with Louis Prima and his Wild Bunch. Just want to say thanks again. Hope this finds you all doing what you love, loving what you do, making the world a better place every day, doing our thing the way we can. Look for me, DJ Rosel Medina, KUTT The Cut, playing music from across time and space. Much love. Peace.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from People's Food Co-op, a community-owned, values-driven natural foods cooperative open daily from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. during the pandemic, featuring farm-direct organic produce from more than 30 local farms, bulk foods, and farmers market every Wednesday year-round, located at Southeast Tibbet Street and 21st Avenue in Portland for almost 50 years. Online at peoples.coop.
You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, also heard at translator K220HR Hood River at 91.9 FM, and translator K282BH in Philomath.